Welcome back. Oh, we're here. We're just soaking it all in. Week one of college football underway. Welcome back to Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Already into week one, and we have our first top 25 upset. We will get into what we saw last night in the college game. You know, I'm ready to come back as well, Chelsea. The hate. Oh, yeah. The hate. You know, like you cheer for your own team, and then you also cheer for your rivals to lose, or lose in a big way, or lose in a heartbreaking way. That's half the fun. If I look up and Texas is winning and Oklahoma's losing, I just get an extra spring in my step. I go from 51 to 41. I start walking a little bit more briskly. I love it. And you have to feel great because you got a win last night over one of your rivals.
You want me to feel great about a team that nearly imploded in the fourth
quarter? Won! You won!
Yeah, you won. But like, we were 14-point favorites. NC State had no business playing down to the level of competition that was ECU. Like, Jinx, this would be like me saying, like, hey, Jinx, you should feel great. You guys barely beat Oklahoma or somebody. Like, when Oklahoma's having a down year. That's the thing. Like, if this year. Like,
but
who's
here's
your
the thing.
Littlest little brother? Like, because I feel A&M. Like Oklahoma's actually your rival.
Yeah.
A&M's in the SEC. Like, ECU, I don't even know what conference they're in. Like, they're our littlest of little brothers.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. But in a rivalry game, like, I know it's cliche, but, you know, you throw the records out. Isn't it different in a rivalry game? Like, I can't tell you how many times Texas has played Oklahoma and one side might be favored and it's close, so the other team wins. Like, even during the Charlie Strong years, which, oh, God, it was PTSD. Like, we pulled a massive upset one year because it's a rivalry game. So when the teams really don't like each other, can't you take away, like, hey, we just won. That's all that matters. And a great stop on fourth down.
I mean, I guess, but this was also like the Dave Doran special. Like, it would be one thing if this was not a repeat of what we normally see from NC State coach teams by Dave Doran. Like, the absolute crumbling in the fourth quarter, where you just fall into, like, prevent defense and prevent offense, where we just play scared. Like, that's the tough part to stomach for me, is that this was not a good ECU team. Like, we saw this line balloon, and so many people told me, oh, NC State has so much talent this year. They're going to beat the brakes off ECU. And early on in this game, that was kind of the case. I think NC State had like a 17-point lead, 17-0. ECU didn't even get a first down in the first four drives. But then NC State does what NC State does. It's not the talent. It's like the schematic part of the game that bothers me. The talent is there. It's like the play calling. It's the game planning that happens in the second half. So, Jenks, needless to say, I am not smiling from ear to ear about last night's game.
All right. Well, I think you should. You should be happy. You're 1-0. What is crazy to me is that the lovely Catherine, she went to CFC. She went to college at Charleston, right? So they have a football team. But because she grew up in South Carolina, she hates Clemson. I know I said this a couple days ago, but it's wild. Like, last year when Texas hosted Clemson in the college football playoff, I've never seen her more into a football game. Like, she was ready for Texas to roll them. I woke up 2 days ago. You know, it's 4 a.m. I'm getting dressed. I go downstairs, and I'm pouring myself a tumbler of coffee, and I get a notification on Instagram. I'm like, who is sending me a message at 4:25? It was Catherine. She was in bed, and it was a Clemson hate reel. I'm like, what are you doing up? And it was making fun of Clemson fans. Like, she's like, all right, I don't have a football team, so I'll cheer for South Carolina, but screw Clemson. It's which, of course, I love. I'm like, good. There's a rival that you don't like. That's college football.
Yeah, that's like their big rival, though. Like, Clemson, South Carolina, like, that's deeply rooted. I feel like ECU is one of those teams that, like, over the last few years, like, they've claimed to be, like, our rival. But, like, it's just, it's not supposed to be our rival. That's the problem. I feel like now it's a rivalry because we always play them poorly. But it's not a matter of, like, hey, we're on an equal playing field. So, like, that's the tough part, is when you have a little brother and it's like a lose-lose situation.
It's true.
Like, you beat him, okay, you're supposed to beat him. And you lose to him. Well, you lost to him and you're 14-point favorites. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do.
It's more of like a sigh of relief when you beat them as opposed to like feeling happy.
Yes, because when you beat them, you're like, we're supposed to win. We're big brother. And so when you win, you're like, all right, that's the way the world should work. And then when they beat you, It's like, oh my God. They like lose their minds, you know, they're acting out. They're in a cult, maybe, Texas A&M. So I totally get what you're saying. Last night, this was a stunner. I almost took Boise State, and I said, this makes me nervous. I'm glad I did not. South Florida all over the Broncos, 34-7. South Florida getting 5.5. They're plus 180 on the money line under hits. Total set at 61 on the hook. Byron Brown rushes for 2 touchdowns, 16 of 24 in the air, and the Bulls also using some trickery.
Fake! He's got him! What a call! Singleton! Bulls!
That's from ESPN. Keyshawn Singleton catches a 45-yard pass on a fake punt. South Florida beats an opponent in the top 25 for the first time since beating number 22 Navy in 2016. They had lost 18 straight games against ranked opponents, and Boise State just looked awful in this game. Sloppy.
Yeah, they're missing Ashton Jeanty big time, too. That is a big hole to fill in their backfield. But this felt to me like the first trust of gambling Twitter or all the people that you follow that pick games, because I feel like everybody I knew that I trusted was all over South Florida on this one. And that's like the interesting dynamic of picking football games is that we have all of this buildup time. And it's also the mental gymnastics of like, oh, I like this side, but everybody else likes the other side. Yeah. So I do have some trust in some people now that they picked this one pretty correctly, because this was a no sweat winner because South Florida obviously was getting points. But it does make it difficult. Like, Jenks, when you were handicapping some of these games, did you come to a conclusion and then you like look around the room and everybody else has a different answer and you're like, uh-oh.
Yep. I like Boise State. God, I'm glad I didn't go big. I like Nebraska to cover. Now, they won, but they didn't cover the number. So I would have been such a loser yesterday. And I heard Denton say, didn't you say you liked USF?
Yeah, I was all over you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think I heard Denton say that, and I was like, oh, well, I need to rethink about this. So between looking online and hearing Denton, I was like, and that number started to go in USF's direction. I was like, oh, all that research I did, well, maybe I'm wrong. And I was.
Yeah, so if you look at this game, you say, okay, line movement matters, but also look at the NC State game. That line got hammered. Like, that was 11.5, and it moved all the way to 14. So it's not one of those one-size-fits-all thing where you say, oh, if the line is going this direction, you auto-bet it. I think all of the factors still have to line up.
Yeah. Next up for Boise State, a home date against Eastern Washington next Saturday. USF goes to the Swamp to meet Florida. We're going to get to NC State, but let's talk about Nebraska for a second, escaping Cincinnati 20-17. Since he was getting 6.5, they were plus 200 on the money line, but it is Nebraska that comes home. The under hits, and this game was played at Arrowhead Stadium, home of the Chiefs, obviously. We get a good one. Malcolm Hartsock Jr. sealing the win because Cincinnati was driving late in the game. But it is Hartsock who intercepts a pass from Brendan Sorsby to give the Huskers the win with less than 40 seconds to play. And this was huge because last year in one-score games, they had 5 losses. They just could not close games out, and they finally did last night.
Yeah, and I also think that it was very fitting that Dylan Raiola finally got a win at the Chiefs Stadium. Yeah. Because, you know, he's like the biggest Patrick Mahomes fanboy, or at least he tries to emulate his look and his play style, which, like, obviously, if you're going to emulate somebody, Patrick Mahomes is a pretty good one. Had a good night, at least statistically speaking, 33 of 42, 243 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. But, Jenks, I don't think style points matter as much in the first of this season for college football. Because, like, think about it. Like, we were talking about this with NC State and ECU, and obviously, I am a bitter NC State fan, but I think this time of year when people, you know, there's no preseason for college football, and you're still working out the kinks. A win is a win is a win. Like, when it comes to college football playoff time, I don't think people are going to look at this game and be like, oh, well, Nebraska only won by so much. We've got to hold this against them. So I think that at this time of year, a win counts for, I don't want to say more. It's just, I don't think style points matter as much this time of year.
No, because teams will be completely different by the end of the season. You know what I mean? Some teams will improve and get so much better and come together and gel, and then other teams will start off hot and then fall apart. So whenever you can get a dub, you get a dub, especially in an environment like this where, okay, it's a neutral site, so it's not your normal routine. And also, if you're Nebraska, there's a mental hurdle there, right? Like, you know, in close games, we've given a lot of these away. So to be able to finally wrap one up is huge for a team to finally say, okay, now we can do this, because you can say it all you want, but until you actually see the results, then ultimately it doesn't matter. So this was massive for Nebraska. I know a lot of people like the Huskers this year. This was an important win for them.
Oh, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, like, wins and losses are the stat that matters in college football. But I feel like it's getting very similar to handicapping college basketball, where, you know, they have completely different rosters every single year. And you're like, okay, it's going to take a while for them to find their rotations to gel. And now with the transfer portal in college football, it's the same deal. Like, you look at these teams, and it used to be, okay, I like handicapping the first of the season with returning production. It doesn't feel like that's the gold standard anymore, because so many of these teams just go out and get brand new rosters.
Yeah, I think it depends on, like, how close the number is, how close the teams are, right? So if you're talking about two teams that are very evenly matched, then maybe that returning production and experience means a little bit more. But obviously, if you're a team that has a massive talent advantage, then it doesn't matter if you have the experience or not, because you'll just out-athlete the other team.
Yeah, especially on defense. Like, I feel like, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's more reactionary. So, like, when you have a new quarterback working in things, it feels like maybe it takes a little bit longer to learn the offense, things like that. But on defense, like, if you have a pass rusher, you just let him loose. And, like, I feel like there's not that much of a learning curve.
No, that's true. Depends on the role. But, yeah, a lot of times you can just stick a guy in there who's a beast and put him on the edge and say, you know, get after it. Just go get the quarterback. In fact, until Micah Parsons learns the defense in Green Bay, they're just going to turn him loose and say, you know what to do. See that guy right there? Go get him. Finally, Chelsea, I don't know if you've heard about this result. The NC State Wolfpack beating ECU 24-17. Oh, what a fight song. What's it called? Hail to the Pack. I don't even know. Do you know?
I'm not sure what the actual name is. Like, I know the words to it. But you're going to have to do better than that if you're trying to rile up some positivity for me after this game.
All right, let me do this.
Because I think this has been long festering, just because Dave Doran does this all the time. I'm going to let you finish. All right, go ahead with the game recap. I'll wait.
No, it's okay. Go right ahead. Let me pump you up, okay? Okay, here we go. All right. NC State last night. Massive win for the Wolfpack. You know what? I like them this season in the ACC. Dark horse, as far as I'm concerned. They win 24-17. NC State minus 625 on the money line. Forget about ECU covering. Who cares? Underhits total set at 61 and a hook. The Pirates down 17-0 at halftime. They rally all the way back, and a lot of teams would have folded. A lot of teams would have folded in that situation with a rival on the way to maybe tying the game and sending it to overtime. Not NC State. No, 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 no. 37 seconds to play. ECU on the NC State 9 on a 4th-and-1, and they are stuffed by the Wolfpack. Huge stop, and ECU, the Pirates, take the L because they are losers. No? I'm doing my best here.
I almost wish... Here's the level of, like, pessimist in me right now about NC State sports. It's part of me wishes they, like, would have lost, just because I feel like we need more ammo to, like, maybe get rid of Dave Doran. Like, do you ever feel that about a team? Where, like, let's just stop, like, you know, putting together 6-win seasons. Let's get him out of here and get somebody new. Because this has just been the Dave Doran experience. And again, like, the talent is there. And I will say, if there is a silver lining to this game, it's the fact that CJ Bailey looks pretty good.
He looks awesome.
His second or third year. He is a really athletic guy. And I knew this when he came to NC State, because he was like a true freshman. He was like 18 or something. And he was really lanky. And he just needed to put some weight on. But the accuracy is there. He made some like NFL style throws down the sidelines. I was worried about losing Conception to Texas A&M, because we're NC State and we lose players to the transfer portal. But we had some good connections, you know, down the field. So there are things to look forward to this season for NC State. But Dave Doran is not one of them.
I get the feeling, now that I've heard you discuss Dave Doran, that just maybe you're not the biggest fan. But what do you do? I mean, it's like, I'm not a fan of you, but I want my team to win. I was kind of like that at the end of the Tom Herman era. I was like, you know what? I don't think you're the right coach for us, but I want us to win. So what do you do? At least I will say, like we were talking about, C.J. Beasley, unbelievable last night. 318 yeah. yards and a touchdown, rushed for 21 yards and a score as well. So you found yourself a quarterback. He is the real deal. Mm-hmm. Coming up next year on the show, even more college football as we preview a couple of games on the card tonight and the return of Colorado football without Shadur and without Travis Hunter. That is Chelsea. She hates Dave Dorn. I'm Michael Jenkins. Mm. I just want NC State to win. That's coming up next on the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network.